Thanks for listening. The following is an audio presentation from High Country Christian Church. For more information, please visit www.highcountrychristian.com.
Let's turn to John chapter 14. John chapter 14. This is part 3 of our series called Help Me, Holy Spirit. Have you been enjoying this series so far? I hope that you've been enjoying hearing it as much as I've been enjoying studying it and preaching it. I think I told you a couple weeks ago, this series popped into my heart while I was on my lawnmower a few weeks ago. And I've been, since that moment, I can tell you exactly where I was in my yard when I started to hear the Holy Spirit talk to me about this. And from that moment of time, I've just been so pumped to preach this. So we're going to keep going. Here we go. John chapter 14. John chapter 14. This is our main scripture that we've been using. If you need a Bible this morning, if you didn't bring one by chance and you need one, you can use one of ours. Brother Andrew has some, especially since the screens are down today. If you need one, just let him know. Everybody got a Bible? All right, good. John chapter 14 and verse 16. We're going to read this text and then we're going to make our confession of faith, which we haven't done in a couple weeks. But let's read this. This is our main verse. Jesus is speaking, verse 16. And he says, "And I will pray the Father, and he will give you another helper." Everybody say helper. "That he may abide with you forever. The Spirit of truth, whom the world cannot receive." Jesus is talking to his disciples, and he says, "I'm going to pray the Father, and he's going to send to you another helper." I'm going to tell you what that means here in just a second. But let's make our confession of faith and pray over the message. Can you say this with me? Say, "Thank you, Father, that today, the eyes of my heart see you. The ears of my heart hear you. My heart and mind perceive and understand your word and your will." It's my favorite part. "Today I'm growing in the things of God." I'll do it again just for me. "Today I'm growing in the things of God." Oh, I love saying that before we get into the word together. Father, we thank you for the opportunity to preach today, the opportunity to teach from your word, to help your people to learn and grow. Father, we pray that you would strengthen all of us. We pray that you would instruct every one of us here today. May not one of us leave not having heard from you. We want to hear from you, Holy Spirit. Teach us, instruct us, guide us, lead us today as we learn together. And we'll be giving you all of the praise and glory for it in Jesus' name. And everybody said, amen. Amen. So Jesus talking here says, "I'm going to pray to the Father, and he's going to send to you another comforter, the Spirit of truth whom the world cannot receive," or another helper, excuse me, "the Spirit of truth whom the world cannot receive." Something interesting about this scripture is that it highlights for us every member of the Trinity all at the same time. Jesus, the Son, is talking about the Father and about the Holy Spirit. So if you're ever looking for a scripture to defend who the Trinity is, if you're ever talking with somebody and they're wondering and they're curious about who is this Father, Son, Holy Spirit that you talk about, this is a good scripture to point them to. So you may want to make a note of that. But Jesus says here, again, I'll read it, "I will pray the Father and he will give you another helper." Now, we've based this entire series off of the phrase here that Jesus uses, another helper. The Holy Spirit is our helper. Hence the reason that we titled the series, "Help Me, Holy Spirit." All right? He's our helper. The word in the Greek is parakaleo. You remember me talking about this? It's the word which means somebody who comes alongside and calls out to you. It's somebody who comes and intimately connects with you and links up with you and begins to speak to you, give you wisdom and insight and strength and courage and help. You know, the Holy Spirit is heaven's most precious gift to you. Amen? Because the Bible says, Jesus is talking about the Holy Spirit later on in the book of John, and he says, "He has been with you, but he shall be in you." The beautiful thing about the new covenant, the thing that makes the new covenant and the old covenant different, one of the things that makes us, one of the most profound things that makes you and I as Christians different from the Israelites of the Old Testament is that they had the Holy Spirit visiting them. You and I have the Holy Spirit permanently living in us. Glory to God. That's good news. So Jesus says, I'm going to talk to the Father on your behalf, and he's going to send you this helper. And he uses this interesting phrase. I saw this last night, and I was reminded of something from Bible college when I was looking over this, and so I was prompted to go back into the Greek and look again like I like to do. And I noticed he says here, I'm going to give you another comforter or another helper. And I thought, boy, I need to go look at that. The word another, Sean, you may remember this from Bible school, alas and heteros, you remember? There are two words for the word another in the Greek. One of them is the word alas, and the other one is the word heteros. Heteros means another of a different kind. Alas means another of the same kind. Can you guess which one is used here? Another of the same kind. Alos, A-L-L-O-S in the Greek. So Jesus speaking here says, I'm going to send you, I'm going to pray the Father, and he's going to send to you another helper of the same kind. That's powerful. Let me visualize it for you. Imagine that I have two popsicles. Did you ever have one of those two popsicles that's stuck together and you got to break them apart? When I was a kid, we had to break them apart. Each of us couldn't have two. We had to split it, me and my sister, and she had to have one, and I had to have another one, and we just were thankful for what we were given every time. We never complained or whined or cried or anything like that. In Jesus' name, hallelujah. Yeah. Imagine that I have two purple popsicles, and I break them apart, and I give one to you, and I keep one. I gave you another of the same kind. Now imagine that I have one that's purple and the other one's orange. And I give you the orange one and I keep the purple one. What do I have? We have another of a different kind. But if I give you the purple popsicle and I keep the purple popsicle, we both have different pieces, but they're of the same substance. This is the word, alos, that Jesus uses here to describe who the Holy Spirit would be to you. He says, I'm here, and it's good that I'm here, and I'm helping you, and I'm ministering to you, and I'm strengthening you, but there's one coming that's different from me, but he's the same. He's another of the same kind. You see, this is important for us because we need to know the Holy Spirit is just as much God as the Father and the Son. We have a tendency in our culture and in our unrenewed thinking sometimes. We have a tendency in our own thinking sometimes to minimize the working of the Holy Spirit. We're happy when the Bible talks about God. We're happy when the Bible talks about the Son. But somehow when we get over to the Holy Spirit, he becomes an it. Did you ever think about that? Oh, well, I just love the presence of the Holy Spirit. It was so good at church today. Amen. Pastor Josh started to sing, and the Holy Spirit came and invaded the place. It came. It was revealed. Its power was... No. The Holy Spirit's not an it. He's another of the same kind. He's the same substance. He's just as much God as the Father and the Son. Amen. He's just as important to you as Jesus. You think about this now. The Holy Spirit is just as important in your life and in my life as Jesus. Amen. And he's here to take our worries and our concerns and our burdens, and he wants to help us. And every time you worry and every time you strive and you fright and the enemy comes to put stuff in you, the Holy Spirit wants to take that load off of you. Amen. Amen. So we need to understand The Holy Spirit is not an inferior member of the Godhead. He's just as much God as the Father and the Son, and we need to reverence him as such. Amen? So, in studying this topic, we've made this statement for the last couple of weeks. As we study, we discover the Holy Spirit's desire is to help us and to advise us in every single area of life. There's not one part of your life that the Holy Spirit doesn't want to be involved in. Amen? I mean, we tend to get so practical that we forget that the Holy Spirit's interested. We forget that there's a spiritual side of God, and we totally just forget about that. We get so practical and wrapped up in our daily lives. Do you know God wants to help you on your job? The Holy Spirit wants to be involved in your career. The Holy Spirit wants to be involved in your marriage. The Holy Spirit wants to be involved in your dating life. The Holy Spirit wants to help you with all the little intricate things of your life. We think that God somehow, he has these grand plans and I've got these little issues in my life and they're not important enough to talk to him about. No, he's interested in every detail of your life. Every tiny, fragmented little piece of you, he wants to be involved. So we posed the following question: how does the Holy Spirit help us? And last week we continued by looking at two ways the Holy Spirit helps us. Do you remember? We said that he empowers us and he strengthens us. He gives us his power. Remember Acts chapter 1 verse 8, but you shall receive power after that the Holy Spirit has come upon you. Do you remember what the word power was? Dunamis. Oh. You know what we get the word dunamis from? Or we get what word we get from dunamis? Dynamite. That's the English word. Comes from the Greek word dunamis. Dynamite. Explosive power. That when the Holy Spirit is promised to you, he doesn't just show up and give you goosebumps. He comes and brings you God's dynamite explosive power. The same power that built the universe lives in you right now. Then we said he strengthens us. That means he gives us might, like Sean was talking about during the offering. When we begin to feel weary, he strengthens us. He infuses us with his strength. So that when you feel like you can't go on, and you feel like you can't continue, and life has pushed and pushed and pushed and pushed and pushed, guess what God wants to do? He wants to give you a fresh infusion of his strength. All of us, remember we said it, Isaiah 40:31, they that wait upon the Lord shall renew or exchange strength. Amen. I said this last week and I stand by it. The Christianity does not cater to weakness. Amen. It doesn't cater to weakness. Now listen, it doesn't beguile you and belittle you for being weak, but it doesn't cater to it and make exception for it either. When you're weak, the Bible says you're supposed to get infused with his power and become strong. That's why that was Paul's whole argument when he says, when I'm weak, he is strong. Why? Because Paul's saying, I receive strength from him when I begin to feel weak. That's the job, if you will, of the Holy Spirit, to infuse you with the strength and the might of God. Amen? Now, if we could turn to Ephesians chapter 1. Oh my gosh, I'm so excited to preach this to you this morning. You have no idea. Hallelujah. Ephesians chapter 1. It's on page 1028, at least in my Bible anyway. You know that joke never gets old? To me, anyways. Ephesians chapter 1. So last week we said, how does the Holy Spirit help us? Well, he helps us by empowering us and strengthening us. This week, we're gonna answer the question, how does the Holy Spirit help us? He causes us to see and know. He causes us to see and know. The old-time Pentecostals used to call him the Spirit of seeing and knowing. The Spirit of seeing and knowing. The Holy Spirit helps us to see. He helps us to, I'm not talking about with your physical eyes. You'll see that here in just a second, but he helps us to see and to know. Ephesians chapter 1, we want to take our text here from verses 17 and 18. Paul is in the middle of a prayer in verse 17 and 18, and he says this, that the God of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of glory, may give to you the spirit of wisdom and revelation in the knowledge of him, the eyes of your understanding being enlightened, that you may know what is the hope of his calling, what are the riches of the glory of his inheritance in the saints. Now, the second part of that scripture, the hope of his calling, the riches of the glory of his inheritance in the saints, we're going to leave that alone for today because we'd be here till 3 p.m. if I tried to preach that entire verse to you. So we're going to focus on verse 17 and the first half of verse 18. The Holy Spirit is the Spirit who helps us to see and to know. Say that out loud. Say, he helps me to see and know. Amen. You need to, listen, when you wake up in the morning, you need to declare that over yourself. Say, Father, thank you today that the Holy Spirit is helping me to see and know the things I need to see and the things I need to know. How many of you figured out you don't know everything? Amen. Or is it just me, huh? I don't know everything. But guess what? I know the one who does know everything. How many of you figured out that God, there's nothing hidden from God? Nothing hidden from the Holy Spirit. He's way smarter than you. And me, by the way. He's way smarter than we are. There's nothing, there's no detail in the universe that has escaped his eye. You know, I think we said this a couple of weeks ago. The Holy Spirit never says the following phrase. Hey, you know, it just occurred to me. The Holy Spirit never says that. The Holy Spirit says, oh my gosh, he never says, oh my gosh, I forgot. You know, the Holy Spirit, he's never late. He never misses a deadline. Amen. He's never running behind. Oh man, I overslept. Oh shoot, I can't believe it. Dang it, I forgot. The Holy Spirit never thinks that way. Why? Because he knows everything. He knows everything that there is to know about everything all the time. That causes him, or that makes him, the spirit of wisdom and revelation. Now, verse 17 and verse 18 here are what we're looking at. Verse 17 talks about what God wants to do in your life. Talks about what the Holy Spirit wants to do in your life, verse 17. Verse 18 talks to us about how he does it. So I want to make this distinction up front here so that you can understand as we dig deeper into this scripture. Verse 17 talks about what God wants to do in your life. Verse 18 talks about how he will do it. That'll become more clear as we dive into this. Now, the Spirit of God, according to Paul here, is the spirit of wisdom and revelation. Let's take these words apart, okay? The word wisdom is the word Sophia in the Greek. Sophia in the Greek. It's a beautiful, beautiful word. It means broad and full of intelligence. Broad and full of intelligence, used of the knowledge of very diverse matters. Supreme intelligence, such as belongs to God. When you see the word wisdom in the New Testament, this is what it means. Broad and full of intelligence. Supreme intelligence, such as belongs to God. Isn't that awesome? See, you and I need to remember this when we hit our knees and we begin to talk to the Holy Spirit. You see, so much of our prayer life consists of us telling God what's wrong. The reality is, he already knows. He has supreme intelligence. Somebody get that? Thank you. He has supreme intelligence, diverse intelligence. He fully understands everything that there is to understand about everything all the time. Nothing escapes his wisdom. He's perfectly, think about this, he's perfectly qualified to help you. Listen, you can go to a psychiatrist that has a great training, but is not as perfectly qualified to help you as the Holy Ghost.
You can go see a specialist that is specialized in whatever your need is, and he might be very qualified, or she may be very qualified to help you. I'm not trying to knock that person. What I'm saying is the Holy Spirit is infinitely more qualified to help you because he inhabits all wisdom. He's broad in his intelligence. He has supreme wisdom, man. This word Sophia, it was a word that they used in Greek really to describe specifically that kind of wisdom that comes from above, that infinite wisdom. This is not a word that was used to describe like book smarts. This is a word reserved to talk about the grandeur, the vastness of God's wisdom. So it's broad and full of intelligence, supreme intelligence, such as belongs to God. Now, that's the first thing that Paul uses to describe the Holy Spirit, spirit of wisdom. Now, what's the next one? Spirit of revelation, right? Don't you see that in the very next word? He is the spirit of wisdom and revelation. Now, what is the word revelation? It's the word in the Greek, apokalypsis. Apokalypsis. It'd be a good one to get tattooed. Apokalypsis. People ask you, what does your tattoo say? It says apokalypsis. What does it mean? It means to take away the cover or to uncover and reveal. Specifically has to do with the idea of removing a cover from something. This is kind of goofy, but this is the word picture that I get all the time when I think about this word revelation. Have you ever seen like a TV show where they're serving, it's either like a movie or TV show where they're at a fine dining restaurant and they're having like a 12-course meal and maybe they're sitting around the table and all these little English butlers come up getting ready to serve the food. And the food has a big silver dome over top of it. You know what I'm talking about? You've seen these kind of images before. And then everybody, when it's time to eat, all the waiters set down the tray with the dome in front of all the guests. And then all 1, 2, 3 at the same time, they pull the dome away, revealing the food that's there. And your eyes begin to feast on the food that's in front of you. That to me is the perfect illustration, it's the perfect example of this word apokalypsis. It's what the Holy Spirit does with the wisdom that he has. He's got all this wisdom, he's full of understanding, he has supreme intelligence, nobody is smarter than the Holy Spirit. He's got everything that there is to have when it comes to intelligence, and his job is that he is perpetually taking the lid off and uncovering that wisdom for you. You see, it's not like sometimes people encounter revelation, they see something they never saw before about God, and it, to them, to that person, it's almost as if that thing that they're seeing didn't exist before. But it did. It existed the whole time. It was just covered. They couldn't see it. You know, when the waiter takes the dome off of the plate, the food doesn't materialize. The food was there the whole time. You just couldn't see it. Right? That's what it means to have revelation. What's so beautiful about revelation is that when it happens to you, it's one of the most remarkable things that you can experience in your life when the Holy Spirit shows you something you didn't know before. It's priceless, man. I'm going to tell you, it happened to every person that's ever gotten saved. I don't know if you can remember your salvation experience distinctly. Some of you can, some of you can't. But I was really young when I got saved, so I don't know the day, you know, the date when I gave my life to Jesus. But here's what I do know. When you said yes to Christ, you did so because the Holy Spirit came and revealed something to you about Jesus. He came and he uncovered the reality that Jesus is Lord. And in that moment, you saw it. Who's the Holy Spirit? He's the Spirit of seeing and knowing. In that moment when he revealed himself to you, you, bing, this light bulb went off in your head and you said, oh my gosh, I see it. And once you see it, you can't unsee it. Once you see how beautiful Jesus is, you'll never be able to unsee how beautiful he is. The Holy Spirit has revealed the Son to everybody that's saved. So let me tell you, you qualify for revelation. Matter of fact, you've already had it happen to you. Amen. Hey, that's good news. Hallelujah. That's good hallelujah news, okay? You've already had it happen to you. If you know who, if Jesus is Lord of your life, you've already received revelation from the Spirit of seeing and knowing. You've already seen. Now, what's so amazing about this, this word apokalypsis, I never saw this before. The way that this word is used, it's actually used a couple different ways in the New Testament. It's used as the word apokalypto, and then or apokalypto, and then it's also used as the word apokalypsis. Apokalypto is the noun of revelation. It's the noun which means revelation, person, place, or thing. Okay, y'all think with me for just a second. I know this is kind of heady stuff, but apokalypto is the noun that's used to describe revelation. Apokalypsis is the verb. It's the action word. So when it says he's the spirit of wisdom and revelation, it's not a noun, it's a verb. He's the spirit of wisdom and he's perpetually revealing. This is an active word. It's happening right now, in other words. That's what I'm wanting you to understand, is that the Holy Spirit never stops revealing. He's constantly uncovering the will of God. Constantly. This is an action. This is a present action word. Amen? Now, here's the question. You got it so far? Everybody with me so far? I know this. I'm building a case here. I know this is kind of heady stuff, but it's good. Who is he? Who is the Holy Spirit? He's the spirit of wisdom, the infinite wisdom of God. And he's the spirit that perpetually is uncovering that wisdom. Okay? Now, we move on to verse 18. This is what God, or actually no, before we get on to verse 18, we got to look at the last phrase of verse 17. He's the spirit of wisdom, and he's the spirit that always reveals. What is he revealing? He's revealing in the knowledge of him. Look at the last sentence there. That he would grant unto you the spirit of wisdom and revelation in the knowledge of him. Let me ask you a question. Where is it that we encounter the knowledge of him? In the word. Where do you encounter knowledge about Jesus? In his word. What does that mean? This is Paul telling us in this scripture that God wants to give unto us the Holy Spirit, who possesses all wisdom and all knowledge, and who is currently and actively uncovering the truth that we find in God's word. You see, you can't divorce the activity of the Holy Spirit from the word of God. There are people who try. There are people who want all the Holy Spirit gyrations and the Holy Spirit manifestations, and we're so excited about prophecy, and we're so excited about miracles, and we want all that stuff, but we don't have time for the word. There's people out there that think this way. Listen, you're not going to hear the Holy Spirit apart from this word. Where does this knowledge come from? It comes from his word. So, let me ask you the question. Remember I said verse 17 talks about what God wants to do. He wants to give you wisdom. He wants to uncover it. And he wants to uncover it from his word. So here's the question. How does he do it? Verse 18 answers that for us. How does the Holy Spirit do all the things we've just described? He does so by enlightening the eyes of our understanding. Look at verse 18. The eyes of your understanding being enlightened, that you might know what is the hope of his calling. The eyes of your understanding being enlightened. The word enlightened is a special word, man. It's the word photizo in the Greek. Can anybody guess what English word we get from the word photizo? Photograph, right? Photograph. The word photizo in the Greek, it literally means to give light or to shine light on something. And if you understand anything about a photograph or a camera, that's exactly what happens. When you're taking a picture, we don't do this now because nobody has cameras anymore because they have phones, and so our phones are now our cameras. and our internet browsing devices and our cookbooks and everything else. Anything we could ever need, you know, stopwatch, I mean, just whatever, email, everything happens on our phones. But when I was young, you actually had cameras. And you had to use a camera if you wanted to take a picture. And when you would take a picture with a camera, especially an old school camera, the way it would work is there was a camera body and you would load film into the camera body. And you couldn't let light touch film. Younger generation does not understand the struggle of film. But you couldn't let light touch the film, because if you let light touch the film, it would overexpose and it would ruin your picture. It would ruin that negative. So you had to very carefully load film into the back of this camera body. And then what you would do is you would take a lens and you would put that lens on the front of the camera body. And when you wanted to take a picture, you would snap the shutter. And what you do when you push that button down, you would open up the shutter. And by opening the shutter, it would let light in through the lens. And that light would make an impression on that film. Y'all follow me so far? That's how photography works. This is a crash course. I find it interesting that Paul uses this word photizo to describe the activity of the Holy Spirit. This is how God wants to show you his wisdom. This is how the Holy Spirit wants to reveal and uncover his wisdom to you, by enlightening you, by photographing you. Think about this for a second. The power and presence of God, the Holy Spirit, the one who has all wisdom, has all understanding, and is constantly uncovering and revealing the will of God to us. How does he do it? He comes along, he takes this word, and he begins to reveal his word by shining the light of the truth out of his word. And it enters into you like light through a lens. And as the light of his word enters into your heart, it leaves an impression of God on the inside of you. That's what it means for the eyes of your understanding to be enlightened. When the Holy Spirit works in your life, let me read it for you the way I wrote it in my notes. When the Holy Spirit works in your life, he will take the word of God and he will uncover it. Okay, that's that revelation. That's that uncovering that we talked about. He will take the word of God and uncover it, causing it to shine upon the film, if you will, of your heart, and leaving an impression on your spirit. He knows exactly how to do this because he has all wisdom. He knows exactly how this is supposed to work because he has all wisdom. He's smart. Think about this. I wrote down 5 points. He knows exactly how to speak to you. He knows exactly how to speak to you. You know why? Because he knows exactly how you hear. He knows exactly how to make his word come alive on the inside of you. He knows exactly how to take his word and shine it into your life so that it leaves a photographic impression of God's will on your spirit, man, on your heart, on the inside. He knows how to do that. He's qualified because he has all wisdom. He's infinitely intelligent. You see, we do this. I was listening to a preacher the other day, and he was talking about how to be led by the Holy Spirit. We look to all the wrong places to be led. You ever think about that? We're led by our emotions. We're led by what people tell us. We're led by how we feel. We're led by any and every thought that pops into our mind. You know, they used to have a saying when my mom was younger, my parents were younger in the 60s, man, if it feels good, just do it. Right? Am I making that up? That was the mantra of the 60s and 70s. Man, if it feels good, just do it. How many people live that way? They're just led around through their life like that. Well, this is what I'm feeling, so this is what I'm going to do. Well, what happens when how you feel changes for the negative? And you're so conditioned to just do what you feel that all of a sudden you're destroying yourself because you feel like it. Right? That's why people jump off bridges. Right? That's why people do crazy stuff. Because they're just so conditioned to go with how they feel. They've never had an opportunity for the Holy Spirit to take the wisdom of God and uncover it in His Word and shine it on their hearts. So we get so busy looking for God to speak to us through all these external things. God wants to talk to you from your heart, man. He wants to speak to you on the inside. The Holy Spirit lives in here. I told you I was listening to a preacher, and he was talking about this very issue about us, you know, being led by all kinds of external things. And he talked about us looking for signs. You know, people always want God to give them a sign. God, if this is you, make my dog bark the national anthem. You know? Woof, 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 woof. How about instead of that, we go to the Word and we let the Holy Spirit begin to speak to us from the Word? How about we go back to the source? And instead of looking to the outside for some sign about what our life is supposed to look like, how about instead of trying to ask God to, you know, Lord, if this is you, make a red car drive by 3 times, you know? I mean, people do this kind of stuff. I heard the story of a guy who was a preacher. He was getting ready to get married. He was dating this lady. And he said, Lord, if you want me to marry her, tell her to ask me if I want cheesecake at the end of dinner. You're talking about the rest of your life, bro. You better hear from God. Don't throw it up to cheesecake. Don't make this rest of your life hinge on dessert. Right? But how many times, I say that to be funny, but how many times do we do this? How many times do we look to the outside for some instruction instead of going back to the Word? Let me put it to you where it really hits close to home. How many times do we make a decision by external analysis? Let me weigh out the pros and cons. Let me study the situation and see what the best decision is. How about you study the Bible and hear from heaven? How about you study the Word and let the Holy Spirit speak to you out of the Word, the one who knows every detail that you don't know about the situation, the one who can see beyond the limitations of your and my understanding. Let's go to Him. Let's let the Holy Spirit actually be our helper. Amen. He knows exactly how to speak to you. He knows exactly how you hear. And He'll talk to you. Think about this. He knows exactly what God's will is for your life. Did you ever think about that? Romans chapter 8 and verse 27 says that the Holy Spirit intercedes for us according to the will of God. He that sees the hearts knows what is the mind of the Spirit. He makes intercession for us according to the will of God. The Holy Spirit knows God's will for your life. He knows exactly God's will for your life. He knows exactly what you need to know. And lastly, He knows exactly when you need to hear the next instructions. Amen. Not only does the Holy Spirit know what lies down the road for you, He knows exactly when to tell you to adjust. It's kind of a cheesy analogy, but the Holy Spirit's like Siri. He's like your GPS. Yeah, but a whole lot better. That's exactly right. He's a whole lot better. But yeah, have you ever been driving down the street listening to your GPS and Siri's there talking to you? In 500 feet, turn left. You know what I'm talking about? The Holy Spirit, I use that as an analogy. The Holy Spirit knows when to tell you to prepare. He knows when to give you instruction. He knows the instruction to give you. He knows why you need it. He knows what the Holy Spirit or what God wants for you. He knows exactly when the turn is coming, and He knows exactly when to tell you to prepare for the turn that's coming. It's amazing.
Isaiah 30, verse 21. You don't have to turn there if you don't want. I'll just read it to you. It says, "You shall hear a voice behind you saying, 'This is the way, walk in it.'" Isaiah is prophesying about the coming of the Holy Spirit into the church. He was looking ahead and he was seeing people like us with God inside of us. And he said, "You're going to hear a voice. It's going to be so close to you, it's going to sound like it's coming from right behind you. And it's going to say, 'This is the way. Walk in this.'" That's how the Holy Spirit wants to. He's the Spirit of seeing and knowing. This is how he wants to reveal God's plan to us.
I wrote down this little story. It says, imagine that you are walking down a trail at night. Some of you may have done this before. Imagine that you're walking down a trail at night and you can't see very far ahead of you. But you do have a map in your hand. Now, imagine that there's a person who has come alongside of you, has begun to walk arm in arm with you. And they're speaking to you directly in your ear. You get the image so far? You're on a dark trail. It's nighttime. You got a map. And you're trying to find your way. This person comes and they come next to you and they link up arm in arm with you. And they begin to speak to you directly in your ear. And as they start to talk to you, they start to tell you that they were here the day that this trail was made. And they know exactly where it leads to. Then they take out a lantern and they shine a lantern onto your map. And they begin explaining to you all of the details that you're seeing on the map, as well as telling you exactly where to step on the trail. Imagine that they're telling you where the bumps are and the tree roots are, and they're showing you how to get around them and to cross over them. Imagine that they're supporting you and they're holding you steady so that even when you do hit a bump, they're able to keep you from stumbling. You getting the picture? Walking on this trail and this person is feeding you exactly what you need to know and moving you along. I have a question for you. You think you would get where you need to go? This person that was there the day the trail was made and they know every corner and every turn and every tree root and every obstacle. And then better than that, they take this lantern out and they begin to shine it on your map. So now you're starting to make sense of things that you saw but you didn't understand before. Anybody ever read the Word without the Holy Spirit? Anybody ever been bewildered by what the Bible says? How about when the Holy Spirit begins to take light and shine it on the Word? How about when he begins to uncover and all of a sudden everything you've been reading starts to make sense? You think you'd get where you need to go? Now, imagine the same scene, except this time you have on headphones with loud music, and there's a screen in your face so you can't see the path. And maybe you're trying to take a bunch of selfies because you're really concerned how you look on the trail. Oh, it's funny, but it hits close to home, doesn't it? Maybe you're walking down this trail and you're really trying to figure out which way you're going, but instead of looking at the map, which is now wadded up and stuffed in your back pocket, you're looking at something else. And the thing you're looking at's not only distracting you, but it's blocking your vision of the path that you're on. And you got so much being pumped into your brain and so much loud distraction going on inside of your head, and you're just busy posing for selfies because you're so wrapped up in how you look and what the image of your life will be. And guess what? You keep walking and you keep tripping over the same bump in the road. You keep tripping over the same tree root. You keep falling down and you're really starting to get frustrated and you're wondering, why can't I get where I need to go? And then suddenly you realize that's the same tree root I tripped over last time. That's the same turn. That's the same, oh man, I've been going in circles for hours. You think you're going to get where you need to go? What would happen if you took the map out? What would happen if you put the screen away and you took the headphones out? What would happen if you quieted the distraction in your life? You know what you'd find? You'd find the Holy Spirit a couple steps away saying, I've been talking. I've been shining. I've been whispering and telling you which way to go, but you couldn't hear me because there was competition. There was noise. There was screen time. There was selfies. I hate selfies. Can I just be honest with you? I think a better word for selfies would be to call them lonelies. Imagine the Holy Spirit's been there the whole time, wanting to teach you exactly how to get where you need to go. Why is it that the spirit of seeing and knowing doesn't work for us a lot of times? Why is it that we can't see and know? It's because we're infatuated with distraction. Because we love our phones more than we love to read the word. It's because we can't peel ourselves away from all the chaos of our day. Let me tell you, if you and I struggle to fit God into our day, it's because our day is too full. Yeah. Listen, if you struggle to put God first because of work, you need to rethink work. If you struggle to put God first because of your family or your children, you need to rethink how you run things. If you struggle to put God first because of anything that you love to do, anything can become an idol. Right? I'm in the middle of working on our garden, and I'm one of these that when I find something to do, I just pretty much tend to think about that all the time. I'll get jacked up on one thing and be like, oh honey, we're gonna have a garden. And I get real excited about it, and I read everything I possibly could read online, and I watch documentaries, and I just do all this stuff surrounding gardening. If I'm not careful, gardening will become the idol of the week. Yeah? I'm telling you, anything can get in the way. Listen, the devil doesn't care what it is as long as it's not Jesus and it's not the word. The devil doesn't care what the distraction is as long as it keeps you far enough away that the Holy Spirit that's talking to you, that you can't hear it. He doesn't care what it is. Listen, it could be any. You could be an artisan salami maker. And you could just be so infatuated with making artisan salami and hot dogs. I don't know why it's always food. You could just be infatuated with this thing, this task, this hobby, this goal, whatever. Listen, if your goals keep you out of the word, you got bad goals. I've been listening to old school preachers this week. That's why I'm kind of preaching old school at you. I was listening to John Osteen, and he said, you want to know why you're miserable? Because you don't read your Bible and you don't pray. And you're going to stay miserable till you read your Bible and you pray. Bless God. Listen, we don't have enough preaching like that in America anymore. That's why we're all spineless wimps and the devil just farts in our direction and we fall to pieces. That's why you can't come to church in the morning because, I coughed once. I got to go get back in bed and drink a gallon of chicken noodle soup. No, come to church and get healed, bless God. Give time for the word to work in you. It's so important. The Holy Spirit is your helper. He's here to help. He's here to help. But so many times we're distracted by everything under the sun. And then we wonder why we're weak. And we wonder why our prayers don't get answered. We wonder why we lay hands on the sick and nothing happens. Why? We haven't spent time in the secret place. We're on the trail. But everything's chaotic. Everything's the maps folded up and stuffed in our back pocket. And we can't hear the Holy Spirit. He's our helper. He's the Spirit of wisdom and revelation. He's the Spirit of seeing and knowing. He wants to help you right now. Will we listen? That's the question. Let's stand to our feet.
We hope that this message inspired you and filled your heart with faith. If you would like to visit our church, check out www.highcountrychristian.com for service times and location information. Thanks again for listening to this audio presentation from High Country Christian Church, where Jesus loves you, we love you, and your life counts.